me up on one of them mountains in that island. I stayed with a black lady, Sister Garrison was her name. And she had a young lady that stayed with her to help her while I was there to cook and clean and so forth, and they treated me real nice. And every night he'd come up that mountain, get me, and take me down to the town where there was church. And Lord, what a time. God worked it out there. But anyway, when I got back home, one of the great things about it was, when I got back in the United States, they was having problems here in Jacksonville. And they called and wanted to know if I'd come up here to a meeting they were having. And one brother wanted me to come, but he didn't have no authority. I said, well, brother, I got to have a place and open door up there so God can work it out. And he had a little old church. He didn't even want to invite me. He was a little old drawn-up fellas, kind of slipped around like he's scared of his shadow. But I said, I don't care, just so you got a place to preach. And I go over here and brought Naomi and Amber. We come up and I preached a week. While I was there, God opened the door. The fellow was in charge of the Pentecostal fellowship here. He called me. He called that preacher and said, you reckon you could get him to come over and speak Saturday morning at a breakfast we're going to have at a place? And he said, yeah, I'll try. So I said, well, tell him, yeah, I'll be there. Boy, that's when that spirit of Elijah fell and broke them preachers. I mean, they fell on their faces when I got through. And then none of them liked me. Boy, they didn't, I don't know why that fellow even asked me. Just God. And boy, the Lord broke that thing. They fell under the benches and on their faces in front of the altar and all over that chapel. God have mercy sake, Assembly of God, Church of God. And them guys that didn't like me, they were the first ones to me. Wanted to know if I'd come to their church and preach. That's when God kind of opened up Jacksonville. Well, after a couple of 3 years, the door shut again, but I was here. Praise God. God got me in the door. Now they can't get rid of me. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. And it was the spirit of Elijah that did that. Those hearts ain't going to be turned without the spirit of Elijah turning them. Now I want to read this to you, beginning in the Revelation in the New Testament, then we'll go to the Old. In Luke, the first chapter, verse 12, when Zechariah saw the angel, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. And the angel said to him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Praise God. What is he going to do? He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Putting them hearts in his hand. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's the way this ministry started. Praise God. God didn't come down and tell me a great big old revelation in one big sitting or visit. It's taken a number of visions and little voices speaking in my ear, and that angel in February 1957 standing in my room and talking to me about 20 minutes in Memphis, Tennessee. It's taken it all to put it together. And all that time, God was preparing me and giving me experiences and letting me season to the point that when I reached a certain place, that I'd be prepared. Preparation is still the most important part of anybody's life. That's our Bible lesson study, lesson number one. Preparation is still the most important part of any Christian's life, any preacher. If you don't prepare right, you're never going to be right. Preparation is the important thing. Now, the last two verses of the Old Testament says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And what will he do? He'll turn the heart, praise God, of the fathers, that's the parents, to their children. And the heart of the children to their fathers or to their parents. And lest I come and smite the earth with a curse, there's got to be this restoration brought about by the spirit of Elijah working through a man. It's got to come. Now I want to show you how the thing operates And as we've had some examples of it in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, there was a crisis in the church in the days of Elijah. He didn't know he had such a spirit as he had on him, but he found it out, and we found it out. All right? Elijah told Ahab to go get all the children of Israel and gather the prophets together under Mount Carmel in verse 20. See, he had a confrontation with Ahab because he'd led people away from God through Jezebel and Balaam and all. And Elijah came to all the people when he got them together. And he said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. That's the way it always is. A true man of God is always outranked and outnumbered, 450-1 at least. Said, "Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God." And all the people answered and said, "That's very well spoken. You've said something wonderful here." Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, these old false prophets, "Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for you're many. And call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under." And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But Baal didn't answer. All right, verse 30. Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." Now, hey, you've been over around them false prophets. Come over here close to me. Come on, get up here closer. And all the people came near unto him. What was the first thing he did? He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. That's what's wrong with churches today. They ain't got no altar. People are praying, weep, and cry, and repent in. I'll stand up and say, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior." Hey, wait a minute now. Repentance is more than that. You're going to have to do more than that. Get yourself straight with God. That old sin embedded deep in you. You get up and say a few words. Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you'll perish." Repentance is more than just saying believing. If you believe, you'll repent. That's the case of the whole thing. If you really believe the Bible and believe Christ, you will repent. God have mercy. So he took the 12 stones and he built the altar. Now, verse 36. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, sundown, Elijah the prophet came near and said, here's his 63-word prayer. "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me." Now here's the gist. "That this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." God put those hearts in his hand to turn them back again. He used a man. All right? When he prayed that little 63-word prayer, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and licked up the waters in the trees. Oh, God of Elijah, turn those, roll those waters back. Praise God, licked up the water and the sod, and the people all cried, "The Lord is God." Praise God. And what happened to the people? They fall on their backs like these stupid things are doing today? When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, he's the God. The Lord, he's the God." And what did they do then? They took them false prophets out and killed them. That's what they ought to do today when we get somewhere. God have mercy sakes in this world. The spirit of Elijah is a different manifestation of the Holy Ghost than just having an anointing or just being a called or having the Spirit of God in you. It ain't no